Welcome to the BritishBattles.com podcast on the Siege of Kimberley, the diamond mining town in the north of Cape Colony in southern Africa, between 14th October 1899 and 15th February 1900 in the Boer War, whose relief dominated the strategy of the Western British forces. My name is John McKenzie. I am the editor of BritishBattles.com. I write the text for the entries in BritishBattles.com. I also select the illustrations and draft the maps under my nom de carte of John Fawkes. I would invite you to look at the BritishBattles.com site for the Siege of Kimberley, where you will see a number of illustrations and my map of the siege. I hope you enjoy the podcast, and I invite you to send me your comments to info@BritishBattles.com. Kimberley is situated in Northern Cape Colony, as it was then called, in southern Africa, on the border with the Orange Free State. The garrison of 1,624 British and colonial troops, commanded by Lieutenant Colonel Kekewich of the Loyal North Lancashire Regiment, assisted, or perhaps impeded, by Cecil Rhodes, were besieged by a Boer force that varied around 6,500 men with several guns, led by General Cronje, until he left to command the Transvaalers at Magersfontein. The Boer War was a serious jolt for the British Army. At the outbreak of the war, British tactics were appropriate for the use of single-shot firearms, fired in volleys controlled by company and battalion officers, the troops fighting in close order. The need for tight formations had been emphasised time and again in colonial fighting. These tactics had to be entirely rethought in battle against the Boers, armed with modern weapons. In the months before hostilities, the Boer Commandant General, General Joubert, bought 30,000 Mauser magazine rifles with smokeless ammunition and a number of modern field guns and automatic weapons from European armaments manufacturers. The Boer commandos, without formal discipline, welded into a fighting force through a strong sense of community and dislike for the British. Field cornets led burghers by personal influence, not through any military code. The Boers did not adopt military formation in battle, instinctively fighting from whatever cover there might be. The preponderance were countrymen, running their farms from the back of a pony with a rifle in one hand. These rural Boers brought a lifetime of marksmanship to the war, an important edge further exploited by Joubert's consignment of magazine rifles. General Viljoen is said to have coined the aphorism, "We will win through God and the Mauser." With strong fieldcraft skills and high mobility, the Boers were natural mounted infantry. The urban burghers and foreign volunteers readily adopted the fighting methods of the rest of the army. Other than in the regular uniformed Staats artillery and police units, the Boers wore their everyday civilian clothing on campaign. After the first month, the Boers lost their numerical superiority, spending the rest of the formal war on the defensive against British forces that regularly outnumbered them. The British infantry were armed with the Lee Metford magazine rifle, firing 10 rounds, but no training regime had been established to take advantage of the range, accuracy, and speed of fire of the weapon. Personal skills such as scouting and fieldcraft were little taught. The idea of fire and movement was unknown, many regiments still going into action in close order. Some of the most successful British troops were the non-regular regiments, the City Imperial Volunteers, the South Africans, Canadians, Australians and New Zealanders, who more easily broke from the habit of traditional European warfare, using their horses for transport rather than the charge, advancing by fire and manoeuvre in loose formations and making use of cover rather than the formal advance into a storm of Mauser bullets. The British regiments in the Kimberley garrison were the 23rd Company Royal Garrison Artillery with 6 7-pounder mountain guns, commanded by Major Chaumier, A section of 7th Field Company Royal Engineers, commanded by Lieutenant McClintock. An Army Service Corps company, commanded by Captain Gall. Headquarters and four companies of the 1st Battalion Loyal North Lancashire Regiment, commanded by Major Murray. The Diamond Fields Artillery, of 6 7-pounder guns, commanded by Major May. The Diamond Fields Horse, commanded by Major Roger. The Kimberley Regiment, commanded by Colonel Finlayson. The town of Kimberley, lying in the northwest of Cape Colony, on the western border with the Orange Free State, was the centre of Cecil Rhodes' De Beers diamond mining empire. Rhodes was a colossus on the South African political scene and a major player in the slide to war between Britain and the two Boer republics. As war became imminent, Rhodes moved from Cape Town to Kimberley, forcing the Commander-in-Chief to send Lieutenant Colonel Kekewich with half his battalion of the North Lancashire Regiment to defend the town that would otherwise have been left to the advancing Boers. The obligation to relieve Kimberley, stridently demanded by Rhodes, hamstrung the actions of the British in the West, although not to the extent that the need to relieve Ladysmith dictated Buller's strategy in Natal. A capable and resourceful officer, Kekewich found he had nothing like the free hand enjoyed by Baden-Powell in Mafeking. Kimberley was De Beers, with most of the garrison made up of De Beers employees. The essential resources of the town were controlled by De Beers and therefore by Rhodes. Rhodes dictated the course of the defence as much as did Kekewich. George Labram, chief engineer of De Beers and a key member of the garrison until his death, provided many services, a water supply from the mine, building a gun in the De Beers workshops, Long Cecil, assembling an armoured train and manufacturing ammunition. On 14th October 1899, the Boers invaded the Northern Cape Colony and surrounded Kimberley, beginning the siege. On 6th November 1899, the Boers opened their bombardment of the town. On 21st November 1899, the British commander in western South Africa, Lord Methuen, began his march north from Orange River to relieve Kimberley. The garrison noticed groups of Boers from the besieging force leaving for the south to reinforce their brothers on the Modder River. Cronje left to command the Transvaal forces opposing Methuen. On 25th November 1899, the garrison launched a sortie on Carter's Ridge to the southwest of the town, attempting to capture the Boer artillery established on the high ground. The attack was a limited success, catching the Boers by surprise, but failing to take any of the guns. Kekewich attempted a repeat attack, trying again for the guns, on 28th November 1899. He directed the officer commanding the assault, Lieutenant Colonel Scott Turner, only to attack the position if it was lightly held. The attack was maintained, in spite of the heavy reinforcements the Boers had introduced, killing Scott Turner and many of his men. The siege continued, with the garrison anxiously noting Methuen's progress north up the railway line towards Kimberley. On 11th December 1899, Methuen suffered the severe reverse of the Battle of Magersfontein, destroying the prospects of early relief for the town. Rhodes showered Buller, the British Commander-in-Chief in South Africa, with hysterical complaints. In the new year of 1900, Lord Roberts, accompanied by Lord Kitchener, arrived in South Africa with substantial reinforcements, taking over the Command-in-Chief from General Buller. On Wednesday, 7th February 1900, the Boers opened fire on Kimberley with one of the Creusot Long Tom guns. The bombardment caused panic in the population, provoking a lengthy crisis between Rhodes and Kekewich. One of the casualties in the first days of the bombardment was Labram, killed by a shell. Kimberley was relieved on 15th February 1900 by General French's spectacular gallop across the veldt with his cavalry division. This dramatic action caused the loss of a high proportion of the cavalry horses, overloaded and unused to the conditions, leaving the cavalry division seriously weakened. On his arrival, acting on Rhodes's prompting, French sacked Kekewich as the garrison commander before leaving with his division. The lifting of the siege of Kimberley had little impact on the progress of the war, other than to reduce significantly the number of mounted troops available to Lord Roberts, following French's rash gallop across the veldt, likened to the progress of a torpedo. Rhodes was released to make himself a nuisance on a wider stage, but his influence was significantly reduced by his involvement in bringing about the disastrous war. Defence of Kimberley is a battle honour for the Loyal North Lancashire Regiment, the only British regular regiment in the garrison. Relief of Kimberley is a battle honour for the British regular cavalry regiments of French's cavalry division and for the British regular infantry regiments of Kelly Kenny's 6th Division that took part in the relief of Kimberley. The Siege of Kimberley is commemorated by a clasp on the Queen's South Africa Medal, Defence of Kimberley. The Kimberley Town Council also issued a siege medal, the Kimberley Star. As the town's medal was not an official army medal, it cannot be worn as a decoration when the holder is in uniform. That is the end of this podcast on the Siege of Kimberley. I hope you have enjoyed it and thank you for listening. I would invite you to look at the BritishBattles.com site on the siege, where you will find pictures of the siege and images of the regiments that took part with a map of the siege. Finally, I would invite you to look at the list of BritishBattles.com podcasts on www.britishbattles.com/BritishBattles.com/podcasts.